This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
Have you ever looked outside on a starry night and thought, I wonder what's out there? Well, my next guest has spent almost his entire life asking that question. Dr. Fred Watson is the astronomer in charge at the Australian Astronomical Observatory, and he's helped to take astronomy to the masses as well. It's good to talk to you today, Fred.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad, thanks. Now, you've got a new book that I want to talk to you about, but first I have to ask you about this earth-shattering event that happened on Friday where the Voyager 1 spacecraft actually left the solar system. Get out of here.
More or less, yeah, that's right. It crossed the boundary between the sun's magnetic field and the interstellar magnetic field, and in some ways that isn't the edge of the solar system because there's still other objects belonging to the solar system beyond that. But
I
a lot
see.
Of people define it as the boundary of the solar system. And, it's really good to celebrate milestones like this. It reminds us that there's little bits of metal and silicon floating away through space that will probably outlast humankind.
Wow, that's scary. Now, for those who aren't really familiar with this, can you just explain what the Voyager 1 actually is? Because it goes back all the way to 1977, doesn't it?
It does, that's right. Yes, Voyager 1 and Voyager 2, there are two of them. Voyager 2 is not as far away from us as Voyager 1, which is why you never hear about it.
Okay.
It's going in a different direction. But the two Voyager spacecraft were launched towards the end of 1977, and it was one of the most ambitious space missions planned at the time. And the idea was to make use of a fortuitous alignment of the outer planets so that the spacecraft could fly by all four of the gas giant planets, that's Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus and Neptune, and get a gravitational kick from them as well, which actually allows you then to go on to the next one. It's a sort of really neat process.
Wow.
So that all happened. So it was outstandingly successful in its imagery of the planets and taught us almost all we know or all we knew until a few years ago about the outer planets.
I have to ask you, how do you actually know exactly where this Voyager 1 is? Because doesn't the mapping get a little bit murky once you're 19 billion kilometres from Earth?
It will get more murky when the thing runs out of power, because what's happening at the moment is Voyager 1 still has all its electronics working, so it's sending signals back, in fact. So that's what is telling us that the magnetic environment has changed.
Mm.
But in about 12 years, its power source will give out. It's actually powered by a little nuclear generator, and that will stop working. And then it will be a lot harder. In fact, eventually we won't know where it is at all.
Oh, okay, so you could actually lose touch with it altogether, and it'll just be out there somewhere.
Yes.
Okay, now, Dr. Fred, whenever I hear you speak about astronomy, you're always so excited about it. So I thought I have to ask you, what is it about astronomy that gets your blood pumping?
It always has done, but these days what really excites me are the things that we don't know, the things we don't yet understand, because I think there are some really profound secrets that the universe holds that are the province of science, things that we can explore and investigate, which I think will revolutionize our understanding of our place in the universe. And it's things like the nature of time. Time's the least understood of all the physical parameters. It's something that we would like to find out more about, and one way of doing that is to ask questions about the nature of the universe and how the universe works. And so it's things like that. And you're quite right. I just can't help thinking about these things and getting excited about it. So it must be something to do with the way I'm wired, I think.
Yeah. Well, no, I just want to talk a little bit about your latest book, because you are actually giving a little talk at Ryde Library tomorrow night, actually, which anyone can go along to, and I'll give the details for that later. But your book, Star Craving Mad, it's all about sort of travelling around the world with astronomy. So what are some of the amazing things that you've seen in your time, Fred?
Well, it's really hard to pick out individual ones, because we've done so many things, ranging from looking at ancient 2,300-year-old temples that are probably to do with observing the sun in Peru, to perhaps the most spectacular natural celestial event other than a solar eclipse, and that's the Northern Lights, the Aurora Borealis. Mm. Of course, the Southern Lights are there too, down in Antarctica, but it's much easier to get to the Arctic to see the Northern Lights than it is to see the Southern Lights. And so we've led three expeditions, actually, up to far northern Norway and northern Finland.
Well, can I come?
to check out the Northern Lights and to understand them, to allow people to photograph them and things like that. And it is one of the most spectacular natural phenomena. It's something that comes about because of, the stream of subatomic particles that comes from the sun, which is what Voyager is sensing. But in the Earth's vicinity, that stream is much stronger than Voyager is feeling. And these subatomic particles are funneled towards the north and south magnetic poles of the Earth, where they excite atoms in the atmosphere, and we get these wonderful dancing lights that are really quite eerie, but very, very spectacular.
It's amazing, isn't it? I'm talking to Dr. Fred Watson. He's the astronomer-in-chief at the Anglo-Australia Observatory, and we're talking about his new book, Star Craving Mad, among other things. But we'll be back in just a moment with five quick questions for Dr. Fred. I've been speaking to Dr. Fred Watson, the astronomer-in-chief at the Anglo-Australia Observatory. He's got a new book out, Star Craving Mad. Dr. Fred, can I just ask you five very simple questions before you go, okay? Yeah. So this is true or false only, okay? This first one is, you have an asteroid named after you, true or false?
Oh, that's true.
How did that happen?
It was amazing. Well, it's an honour, just because the discoverer of an asteroid is the person who is allowed to give it a name. And this was an asteroid discovered by a colleague of mine at Siding Spring Observatory, and he decided to call it Fred Watson.
I'm
thrilled about that. I have to say that when that happened quite a few years ago now, and it's the International Astronomical Union that ratifies things like that, when I read about the announcement, I went home and told my two sons, who were quite young then, that they'd named an asteroid after me, and they said, Dad, that's terrible. If it hits the Earth, it'll be your fault.
That's what I was thinking. If it lands on Coonabarabran, of all places.
Right. But it never will. It's not going to hit the Earth.
Well, that's a relief. Okay, second question. There is probably life on other planets, true or false?
Probably.
Probably, okay.
But it's a very big probably, and it's the biggest. It was one of the biggest questions. And another thing I have to say that gets me really excited, because we're kind of in a position now to be able to identify that life. In the solar system, it's likely to be only microbial life, although we have no idea yet.
Okay. Number three, Uranus is upside down, true or false? And please explain.
Kind of. It's true in a sense because, and in fact, it's one of my books is called Why is Uranus Upside Down? And it's actually on its side, but it's slightly more upside down than right way up. That's why we call it that. And we don't know why it's like that. It may have been something that hit it in the early history of the solar system, but we really don't know.
Okay. Number four, as an astronomer, you spend every night gazing at the stars, true or false?
Oh, false.
And
I spend a lot of time thinking about the stars, but not always gazing at them.
Okay, well, number five, Coonabarabran is the centre of the universe, true or false?
Oh, that's definitely true. it's physically proven to be true. It's certainly the centre of my universe in the sense that where our telescopes are, Siding Spring Observatory near Coonabarabran, that's very much the centre of activity for all our thoughts at the Australian Astronomical Observatory.
Well, Dr. Fred, I hold you personally responsible for my misfortune because I went to one of the stargazing talks at your observatory, and on the way home we hit a kangaroo, cracked the radiator and ended up stranded in Coonabarabran for the weekend with nowhere to go. But I must ask you, does your observatory receive a commission from the local panel beater to get people driving through that national park at night?
Of course.
Well, that's one mystery solved at least. Well, thank you very much for your time. Lovely to talk to you.
Great pleasure.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.